the new head coach, the new GM, now the new CEO. It's like, we keep going back to it. The common denominator, Alyssa, is that we just feel like we have the right people in charge for a change, right? We're not doing this thing. We're not beating around the bush. We're not doing coach speak this and being, you know, I don't know, secretive and whatever, or really giving non-answers. Like, it's straightforward.
Adults.
The adults.
We got the adults there.
Yeah. The adults are now in the room. New Bears president Kevin Warren had fans ready to run through a brick wall after his introductory press conference this week. And that's saying something, considering we are fully on to 2023 here in mid-January. We'll be discussing our favorite moments of the press conference here coming up next. But first and foremost, it's the Bears Wire podcast. Great to have you with us and welcome into the show. Ryan O'Leary here, joined as always by my friend Alyssa Barbieri, the managing editor of USA Today's Bears Wire. Alyssa, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. It's been, another week into the off season. And, you know, I thought it would be a little slower, but there have been some exciting things happening with the Bears. And obviously having that number one overall pick is going to carry us through April. So that'll be fun. But the Bears, you know, made a big move this week, which I know we're going to talk about. So it's definitely kept me busy, which is exciting because, I mean, this off season I've been looking forward to because there's so much hype for, you know, everything that's going on. And I mean, it's been fun so far and I don't want it to be ever be like, you know, really slow. So, I mean, it's nice. So Bears football is done, but it kind of also isn't at the same time.
No, I agree 100%. Bears news never stops. There's plenty to talk about. The big story that we're going to get to here right off the top is the Bears introducing their new president and CEO. It's Kevin Warren. Kevin Warren is well known, at least the college football fans, Alyssa, for being the Big Ten commissioner. And he's going to replace Ted Phillips, who is retiring after 40 years with the organization. I'm sure fans feel a certain way about that. But, you know, Kevin Warren had this long introductory press conference this week. I think it was on Tuesday, right? Where I think Bears fans came away impressed immediately. He's an impressive guy. He hit all the right notes. There are some quotes you could pull out of this thing that, you know, I think have Bears fans swooning, right? Not unlike when Ryan Poles spoke, right? And he was dropping those lines like, we're going to go win the North and all that stuff. Kevin Warren was doing some of the same things. And I think, you know, as I said, Bears fans swooning a little bit right now over their new president and CEO.
Yeah, it was weird because I was, you know, watching the press conference and listening, and I had like a dopey smile on my face, like, which I didn't even realize until about halfway
in. You were
in
love.
And it was crazy because the immediate thing, you got a sense of just how different it was listening to Kevin Warren get up there and speak compared to Ted Phillips over the years. It was very, very good. There was a stark difference between those two men. And, you know, Kevin Warren, you comes off like a leader. He came off, you know, with a really good understanding too of this organization and the job that he's stepping into. And I mean, we've seen, you know, what he's done with the Big Ten, and he has NFL experience. I mean, because like when you look at him and Ted Phillips, I mean, they're both not football guys, which is why, you know, Ryan Poles is going to, you know, continue to just, you know, steer football operations. But at the same time, Warren is someone who has experience in the NFL. And the way he carries himself is vastly different. He's confident and comfortable up there. And the way he conveys his points, his goals, his expectations. I mean, it was just really, really fun to watch. And I mean, this is now the second press conference in a row that we've watched where it hasn't been dysfunctional in the slightest. And it's actually very, very optimistic. And I feel like this is a really, really good move for the Bears organization. And I mean, it's hard not to feel optimistic about the business side and where things are headed now that Warren is in charge.
Yeah, for sure. And why are Bears fans swooning? Well, if you check out Alyssa's post this week on Bears Wire, it's Twitter reacts to Bears president CEO Kevin Warren's introductory press conference. There's a nice photo of Kevin Warren with, is that Jim Harbaugh right in the background? Nice job, Alyssa. I see what you did there with Jim Harbaugh. I noticed that. Why are fans swooning? Well, it's because, you know, again, he hits the right notes, right? He comes out and says, we're going to talk about winning a championship. I'm here to win championships. We're here to win the NFC North, to win the NFC, to win Super Bowls. Let's talk about it. Like, he was very forthcoming about that, right? He's open to saying that, not beating around the bush like we're used to. I loved it. Talk about, you know, being able to get fans excited, to be relatable to fans. He talked about going to a game. It was actually in December, so it was, you know, not long ago, that Bears Eagles game, where Warren actually went as a fan, right? So he bought tickets, he parked in one of the parking lots, he made the walk to Soldier Field. Like, I don't know if he was drinking beers in the parking lot with fans or whatever he was doing, Alyssa, but he did the whole fan experience, and he watched the Bears from the stands in the elements at Soldier Field. He did that thing just to see what it was like, so what he was getting himself into. That's pretty cool, right? I don't know how. I think the fact that not only did he strike the right notes with some of the quotes we can pull out of this, like, again, saying, let's make it okay to talk about winning a championship, but he made it relatable by going to a game and doing the whole fan experience and getting a kind of feel for it. I don't know. When I started reading about that, hearing him talk about that, I was like, all right, I'm kind of in on this guy. Like, I like it. And I can understand why Bears fans are feeling it right now.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've really liked about his press conference and how he really stressed the importance of the relationships, you know, obviously, like, within the front office with the employees that are working there, and also past alumni, which is something that has been broken for a little bit with the current regime. So, but then also understanding the fans, because he knows how important the fans are. And he wanted to really get that understanding of what is that experience like. And also, when you kind of factor in how involved he's going to be with the building of the new Arlington Heights Stadium, I mean, you know, to really see what is an experience like at Soldier Field, you know, probably what are some things that can be improved upon when they are building the new stadium? What are some things that really seem to be working with these fans or at Soldier Field? And I really appreciated that, because from that business standpoint, but he also understands the importance of the fans in this all, right? And it was really cool, you know, and that was a game where, you know, Justin Fields had one of his sensational runs again, right? I think that was the one that was,
of course, yes,
that was called back for a touchdown, but, like, it was still an incredible run. So, you know, getting to really see how the fans respond to Fields and, like, that entire atmosphere. But yeah, I really think that he kind of went there to really get a sense of what is it like, you know, at a game for these fans now, and then where can we improve upon that when they build this new stadium?
Yeah, and another thing to love about Kevin Warren and the way he kind of conducted himself at the podium there is he was direct, right? He didn't tiptoe around anything. You ask him any question, it seemed like he was forthcoming and really was thoughtful in his answers, and he wasn't trying to BS us, you know what I mean? He was asked about the Arlington Heights property. Is that the only focus for a new stadium? And he says, yes, that's the sole focus right now, as you said earlier, Alyssa, right? So, not beating around the bush. And I know that that's a big one for Bears fans. It's a big one for you as well, right, Alyssa? The fact that he's here to get the Bears a new stadium, a new state-of-the-art stadium, which, I mean, let's be honest, we all love the history of Soldier Field, and that's, like, nostalgic for us, but the Bears need a new stadium. They need a stadium. That stadium that needs to be upgraded, to say the least. And this is a big reason why Kevin Warren is here, right? Because of this thing, this Arlington Heights property, which the Bears are getting ready to close on. And then what comes next there? This is a big reason why he's here.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, here's the thing. I've been to Soldier Field many times. You appreciate the history of that place. But at the same time, the Bears need to get into the 21st century.
Yes.
And that is why Kevin Warren is here, you know, given his past experience helping the Vikings build US Bank Stadium, which is an impressive stadium. So, I mean, it's one of the stadiums that really stands out when you hear people talking about some of these new state-of-the-art stadiums. So, I mean, that's exciting too. And I think in one of the interviews, George McCaskey was asked about, you know, what did you learn from, you know, Warren with the Vikings or whatever in the building of that stadium, or what did he like? And I think he said something that it was built under budget and, you know, before it was scheduled to be done. So, I mean, we know that Warren was brought here to build this stadium. And I mean, it's impressive too, when you look at things that he's done, like whether it was at the NFL level with the building of US Bank Stadium, or that lucrative television deal that he did with the Big Ten, and, you know, bringing over UCLA and USC to the conference. I mean, like, he's a business guy, and he has gotten things done, and he's done it from multiple levels. of football. So, I mean, this stadium is a big one, right? And they have to close on it first, which is expected to happen here in the spring. But, you know, the city of Chicago has really tried its hardest to sell the Bears on staying here. But, I mean, come on now. You know, the Bears and the McCaskies, they want to have their own stadium. They want to be able to host a Super Bowl, host a Final Four, have concerts there, make as much money as possible, right? That is, unfortunately, the name of the game when it comes to these owners. So we've known for a while that they were going to be moving to Arlington Heights, but it did feel, like you said, Ryan, like the directness. That's something that we haven't had a lot here from the Bears. So it feels very refreshing, right, to have not only, you know, a general manager who is forthcoming and a head coach, and also Ryan Poles, who would hold multiple press conferences within the year. Like Ryan Pace would have, like, he'd have two, right, the ones that were required. But you have Poles that's actually scheduling press conferences and wants to be open and forthcoming. And now we're seeing that same thing from Kevin Warren. So I mean, it's really exciting, the direction of this team. And, you know, obviously watching the development of the stadium, which Warren said, you know, he doesn't really have a timetable yet. He'll know more in 6 months. And I really think he's holding back until they do, in fact, close on that property, just in case, you know, nothing is set in stone. But I mean, it's hard not to get excited about the future of this stadium, too, and what it can mean for the city of Chicago.
Yeah, tons to be excited about. I mean, as you just said, like, the new head coach, the new GM, now the new CEO. It's like, we keep going back to it. The common denominator, Alyssa, is that we just feel like we have the right people in charge for a change, right? We're not doing this thing. We're not beating around the bush. We're not doing coach speak this and being, you know, I don't know, secretive and whatever, or really giving non-answers. Like, it's straightforward.
Adults.
The adults.
We got the adults there.
Yeah. The adults are now in the room. We keep saying that over and over again. We said that after Eberflus. We said that after Poles. Now we're saying it after Warren. So it's kind of fun. Another thing I loved about Kevin Warren's presser is he got into his background with Justin Fields. And I want to read a little bit just in case folks aren't 100% aware of this, because, you know, I don't know how many Bears fans are Ohio State fans. I don't know how many Bears fans were paying attention to Justin Fields when he was in college. This story goes back to when he was a junior at Ohio State. So I'm going to read a little bit from the Chicago Tribune. They kind of broke it down a little bit in an article this week. And hopefully this comes across on the radio. I think it will. So here's what the Chicago Tribune wrote about Fields' background with Kevin Warren. They write, in the summer of 2020, with major decisions to be made about Big Ten athletics in the heart of the COVID-19 pandemic, Warren understood where Fields was coming from with his public push to play. So Fields was pushing, you know, just to break in here, the pandemic had hit, Alyssa, and Fields is like, we want to play, right? Let's get all the right protocols in place. Let's do it safely, but we want to play, which we'll get to in a minute. Sounds like Justin Fields to me, right? As we've gotten to know him over the last 2 years, it sounds exactly like something Fields would do. Now, we learned in this presser that Warren kind of admired Fields' purpose when he did this, even though they didn't agree on the direction at the time. So going back to this article by the Tribune, as the conference commissioner, Warren had the responsibility of steering Big Ten athletics safely through uncertain times, with the health and well-being of student athletes his top concern. Fields, then a rising junior quarterback at Ohio State, was like so many athletes who badly wanted to play. Thus, when Warren decided in August 2020 to postpone the Big Ten football season indefinitely, it was Fields who subsequently started a petition urging the conference to start its season on time with certain health and safety measures. The petition garnered more than 230,000 signatures on the first weekend. Alyssa, 230,000 signatures, Justin Fields. And again, let me just break in here. The most Justin Fields thing of all time, right? As we've gotten to see what Fields is all about over these last 2 years with the Bears, I mean, I said this a couple episodes ago, he's wired differently, right? He reminds me of a young Tom Brady in that all he wants to do is be on the football field no matter what. Sickness or in health, preseason, regular season, Bears eliminated from the playoffs with 2 weeks to go. Doesn't matter, right? He wants to be out there. And you know what? Give me that guy as my quarterback every single time. But this backstory with Fields pushing back against Warren, getting this petition going, getting all of those signatures, 230,000, that is fascinating. And it has to make you wonder what their relationship is like. But Warren actually saying, you know what? I like the leadership qualities there. This is my guy. that was kind of fun. That I think that was my favorite thing that came out of this presser, that little story, because it ties it all together, kind of, right? It's like, wow, wait, what about Warren and Fields? Well, now we know.
Exactly. I mean, and we've seen this from Fields, like you said, and even this year, like when Chase Claypool had his little, you know, blow up on the sideline during the Lions game and how Fields handled that as a leader. And we've seen it multiple times, right? And hearing, you know, going back to his time as a junior, you said, at Ohio State, and seeing how he wants to play. And that's like something that we have seen when he was in college. Now that he's at the pro level, whether it's because of an injury or through something else, you know, he wants to be out there on the field. And that just kind of goes with his mentality. And it's one of the things that you love about Fields, right? And it was really cool too, like you said, getting to hear Warren talk about that and talk about how he would have done the same thing if he were in Justin's shoes, and how he really respected him for that and respected him, like you said, as being a leader. And that's something that has carried over to his time as the Bears quarterback and as the leader of this team. And it was really cool, because, you know, a lot of people would think, oh, there's some animosity there, but no, he said he has a strong relationship with him. And there are even photos that surface on the Bears website of Fields was at the facility yesterday. And there are pictures of Warren with Fields in the weight room, because, of course, Justin's in the weight room at this point of the offseason. He never stops. He needs to take a vacation. Justin, just take a little break here.
I thought he was injured. There's some type of injury, right? This hip injury they made up or something. He's hurt.
Yeah, they were being cautious with that. Mm-hmm. I think he's fine now. And I think we all, looking back, are very happy that they played it that cautious with Fields and 100%. That hip injury. So, I mean, hey, look at us now, right? Number one pick. But yeah, it was really cool just to kind of hear Warren talk about Fields as a leader. And it's something, I mean, he's only played 2 years now with the Bears. So, I mean, it's going to be exciting to see Fields continue to shine in that leadership role. And really cool, the little backstory between Fields and Warren there.
Yeah, I love that story. And, you know, what Warren said during his presser, and now I'm reading off of Bears Wire. What that told me about Justin is he's passionate. My whole goal was trying to keep players safe, but I appreciated him being able to take that leadership role. So that's exactly what he said after he said, I would have done the same thing if I was an athlete in the Big Ten at the time. So, yeah, that was really cool, kind of tying a little bow on that. What it also tells us, Alyssa, is that Fields ain't going anywhere. Sorry, Mike Tannenbaum. Now, I didn't know if we'd get to this, but we might have to do it like a little bit of a... First of all, Alyssa, I have to do a little bit of a victory lap, because I called this months ago. I did text you. This is documented. I texted you and said, just wait until the Bears get a top three pick and folks start talking about trading Fields. I said that immediately. And of course, did. Mike Tannenbaum is giving us the audio, which, you know, we could play if we want. I have it right here. But Tannenbaum basically saying that if he was the GM, which, oh my gosh, only the Jets would employ this guy as their GM with some of his takes. And I got to say, Mike Tannenbaum, his takes on ESPN, they're some of the most ridiculous out there, Alyssa. When they let him talk, it's like, what is this guy talking about? You know what I mean? Like, some of the things he comes up with are way out there in left field. So only the Jets, of course, only the Jets. But Tannenbaum, literally, he has defended himself on this. He's really digging his feet in the ground. He's saying, no, I would trade Fields for, like, what, a first and a third, he said, and draft Bryce Young, because now I can reset my quarterback clock, right? I can reset that thing and go back to the beginning of the rookie contract and do that thing. And what I want to know, Alyssa, is, like, we have Fields, proven legit leader, who's like a game-breaking play waiting to happen and cannot be fairly judged as a passer yet, given the last two seasons, as we've talked about. And why am I trading Fields for a first and a third and drafting Bryce Young when I can keep Fields, who we still have control over through a potential fifth-year option in 2025, right? And I can get multiple first round picks for number one overall. I could possibly trade back twice. I could do all kinds of stuff with that and get a boatload of picks to fill all the spots the holes I have on the roster. Never mind the fact that Fields is performing pretty well at cap hit of $5 or $6 million a year right now. Why do we have to, I mean, yes, at some point the quarterback's check is due, right? But why, we're not up against the due date now. We don't need to reset it with Bryce Young. I'm sorry. It's just like, Tannenbaum, I know some people actually believe this, and I think he does too, but holy crap, Alyssa. I'm glad I called this. That's all I got to say. I'm glad I called this. I'm taking my victory lap. I also think Tannenbaum is out there, with most of his takes, including this one.
Yeah, definitely. Well-deserved victory lap, by the way. But yeah, listening to Tannenbaum, because like, if there is like one appealing thing from what he said, that would be like, okay, you get extra 2 years of a rookie, of a quarterback on a rookie deal. But I don't care, because there is no, there's no proof, no guarantee that Bryce Young is going to develop into a star or that he's going to be a consistent quarterback. And how many times have we seen the Bears swing and miss on quarterbacks? It's been a lot in my lifetime, and I'm fed up. I mean, like, Justin Fields has shown that he's the guy. And yes, he does need to get better as a passer. That much is true. And it's also true that he didn't have adequate talent around him this year on the offensive line and at receiver. So there's plenty of work that Ryan Poles needs to do to help him out. But you're like, I don't understand. I mean, I get it, because you knew, like you said, Ryan, you called it. Like, there always is a hot take. And with the Bears being number one, obviously it's, oh, they're going to trade back. But, oh, maybe they should stay there and get a quarterback. No. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I know we're going to hear this over the next 3 months, and it's going to be very annoying, but Fields hasn't done anything to even have you consider drafting someone over him. Yes, Ryan Poles did say, you know, oh, if someone wows me, then yes. Because what else is he supposed to say? I mean, he's not going to say, yeah, we're definitely going to trade down. That doesn't help at all. You know, so this is exactly what I would expect. I mean, how many, I think Tannenbaum also appeared on a few radio shows. So he's riding this take.
He's passionate about this, Alyssa, this horrible take.
He is very passionate, but I am hoping too. So bookmark this tweet for, you know, freezing cold takes, that in a few years when Justin Fields hopefully has, it develops into a star even further, when he has the talent around him and maybe he's an MVP conversation, we'll see. Then I'm going to be tagging Freezing Cold Takes with Tannenbaum's tweet or this video.
Yes.
So, hey, there you go.
You got to. I know he is. He's on a campaign to trade Justin Fields. It's like, Tannenbaum, nobody is listening to you. We all know you're crazy. And we don't know how you were a GM in the league, honestly, with some of your takes. It's like, wow.
The Jets.
Yeah, Jets.
The goddamn Jets.
It's like, yes, at some point, the quarterback's check is going to come due. Same thing with Bryce Young. So whether you save a couple years on that or not, whatever. Eventually that quarterback's check is going to come due. The Bears are not up against the due date yet. They have time with Fields, and they could easily structure a long-term extension with him that coincides with the salary cap booming, Alyssa, and they'll be fine. And they have all the cap space in the world anyway. So I don't think like resetting the quarterback's contract clock is like a top of mind of Ryan Poles, who has the most freaking cap space in the league by far heading into the offseason. And oh, by the way, the salary cap keeps going up each year. So it just doesn't make sense. His take that it's, we're resetting the clock on the quarterback contract. It's like, come on, Tannenbaum, stop it.
But honestly, you're telling me that like if I want the Bears to have to pay Justin Fields, because that means he's the guy, right?
Yes.
You want him to get one of those big contracts, because when is the last time the Bears paid? Jay Cutler was the last quarterback, right? That they paid a big contract to. So, I mean, you want the Bears to be in that position because you found the guy. I have no problem, and I'm sure the Bears will have no problem with that, because they know that they will have finally found the guy. So yep. I'm good with spending some money. You still got Fields another 2 years, then that fifth year option on his rookie deal. I mean, go out there, go contend, right? Like I mean, obviously we see Ryan Poles has the resources this offseason, $118 million in projected cap. You have the number one overall pick, and you're going to be trading down and getting a heck of a lot of draft picks. You have the quarterback. Like, go out there and contend this season for the playoffs. I'm not expecting them to go to the Super Bowl next year, but if they're not in the playoff conversation, that is a concern, but they should be. We've seen some of the off seasons that teams had. Look at the Jaguars this year, right?
The Giants.
I mean, look at what they were able, yeah. The Giants, what they were able to do in an off season, and especially like the Jags feel like a really good comparison because of Trevor Lawrence, who I don't mean, just like they were in high school and in college, everyone's talking about, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields again. I mean, it's going to be fun to see what Ryan Poles does, because, I mean, that could be the Bears next year, right? The Jags have the number one overall pick 2 years in a row, and they're in the playoffs now. They are in the divisional round of the playoffs. I mean, that can be the Bears. And it just makes no sense to, when you found a quarterback that can get it done, that is that impressive, that carried this entire offense on his back last season. Why do you part ways? It makes no sense. Unless Tannenbaum, you know, wants the Jets to trade for him because he needs a quarterback. You know, like his old team needs a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe he's like, I don't know. Maybe he's like a double agent down there. I don't know, but it makes no sense. The Bears are not, I mean, and you listen to Ryan Poles, you listen to Kevin Warren. Fields isn't going anywhere. That's the only thing that matters.
He's not going anywhere. And yes, as you said earlier, Poles said that because he's not going to take away his leverage for the number one pick. He's not going to say, I'm not drafting a quarterback, guys, because he wants teams to pay full price if they want to come up and get the quarterback at number one. So that's fine. We can't do that. He's playing the game. He's playing poker. But yeah, again, anytime Tannenbaum says, if I was GM, here's what I would do. It's like, oh my God, no wonder you're in the booth right now and you're not at a team. You're not with a team, Tannenbaum, with these takes. Here's an actual, here's something we can actually sink our teeth into, Alyssa, because I agree with everything you said about Fields. I'm actually like, why not just sign him now? Like the price only gets more expensive as you go. Right? I think Daniel Jones is a good example with the Giants where they turned down his fifth year option, let him play out the remainder of his deal. And now Daniel Jones is making himself a lot of money, right? The Giants are probably going to give him a contract. And what's it going to be? It probably won't be top of the market. It's not going to be like Russell Wilson money. It'll probably be somewhere a little bit less than that. Maybe Daniel Jones's contract is something that Poles and the Bears could look at and say, ooh, maybe we could give Fields that right now and we'd be at a discount in a couple of years. I mean, maybe that's not what they're thinking right now. Obviously, that check isn't due yet, but it's possible. It's possible if they do stick with him going forward. But what about CJ Stroud officially declaring for the draft, Alyssa? Now you have Bryce Young and Stroud. Does that change anything for the Bears at number one? Does that make it more likely suitors come calling? Does it not change anything? Is Bryce Young still the guy that a team like maybe the Panthers would come up and get? Do you think CJ Stroud officially entering the draft, like we all expected him to, does that change anything for that value at number one overall?
I mean, I think it would have been a little bit better if he had returned to Ohio State, because then obviously now you have limited options, right? You have Bryce Young and Will Levis. So like, if you need a quarterback, you need to move up. But at the same time, there are still plenty of teams that desperately need a quarterback at this point. So now you have three. And I still think that if you have a chance to leapfrog the Texans and get the guy of your choosing, I mean, you have to go do it. And then you have a lot of teams that are inside the top 10 or just outside the top 10 that need a quarterback, and that the only way that you are going to get one is if you trade up, right? And that's a situation where it could benefit the Bears, because now, you know, maybe you don't just trade back once, maybe you trade back twice, right? And you get additional draft capital because you have you trade with two quarterback needy teams. So like, maybe having Stroud there helps with that. I think there's no way they're not in a good position, obviously, having that number one overall pick and having, you know, a good quarterback class this year as compared to last year. If this was last year, it's, you know, just not a good look, right? It doesn't benefit them as much as it does this year. So I don't think it hurts too much. I mean, it probably would have made, you know, Bryce Young or Will Levis more in demand, because now you only have two quarterback options and you have a boatload of teams that really need to trade up. But I think it's beneficial for the Bears because you have another top prospect that's going to be available. So you're going to have plenty of suitors, and Ryan Poles is going to be, as soon as we get like further into this pre-draft process, you know, with the scouting combine and pro days and all that, his phone's going to be ringing off the hook, you know, ahead of the draft.
No doubt. Yeah. His phone should be ringing. We're taking offers. Give us a call. Let us know who you want. Colts, you know, whatever team, Panthers, whoever's looking for a quarterback, give us a call. We're listening. We'll be happy to trade you and take all your first round picks and then move forward with Justin Fields, which is what's going to happen, Alyssa. That's where we're at, right? We're kind of on, you know, number one overall pick watch. We're getting ready for free agency a little bit, Alyssa. We're enjoying the rest of the playoffs, and we got mock drafts popping up on Bears Wire, right? That's kind of the mode you're in. I know Kevin Warren gave you some stuff to report on this week, but now we're back to like mock drafts, looking forward to free agency, that kind of stuff on the site, right?
Oh yeah, we got plenty of free agency coverage coming up, and obviously the draft stuff, just the number one pick. I mean, there's so much to work with, and we're going to be talking about it obviously nonstop until the draft or until some team, you know, makes a trade with the Bears, the Colts, probably, you know, right before the draft. So, I mean, we're going to have like Brendan Shagru and me are counting down our 15 most impactful Bears from the 2022 season. So we had that series coming up. We're doing position grades. So we're kind of doing the recap for the 2022 season. Then we can kind of put it behind us. And then we're going to be full steam ahead with free agency coverage and nonstop draft coverage with plenty of mock drafts. We have Bears mock drafts. We have NFL first round mock drafts. It's going to be insane. The season might have ended, but we never rest here at Bears Wire.
Nope, there's no days off on Bears Wire, never. So go check the site out. Of course, there's always good stuff on there. The most impactful Bears of 2022, Alyssa. I wonder who number one's going to be. I wonder who number one is.
I mean, it could be anybody.
Trying to figure that one out. I'll go sleep on that. I will say before we sign off here, congratulations on Jim Harbaugh to, you know, the most diehard Michigan fan I know. Congratulations on Harbaugh not leaving for Denver. That's good news for you.
Thank you so much. I mean, like, and then with CJ Stroud leaving, I was kind of disappointed because I was looking forward to beating him three times in a row. So, I mean, he's done a lot of good for me and the Michigan fandom.
Yeah, I'm sure there's another quarterback in the pipeline for Ohio State to eventually lose to Michigan this year. You know, I'm sure there's something going on there. So, all right. So for Alyssa, again, I'm Ryan O'Leary. Thanks for joining us on the pod. As always, check out Bears Wire if you could, and we'll catch you next week.
Bear down.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.